So don't take up.
We won't take up.
Yes, let's be the
Pods
in Springfield.
Let's need some healing. Take my hand with your glove of love.
Good evening, lunkheads, and welcome to episode 11 of Pods
in
the Key
of
Springfield.
Springfield.
I was hoping for a moment you would just be article and preposition man, and then you went and said a word that was a noun.
You know, I was actually teaching my students about articles and prepositions today, so it's good to hear you correctly define both terms.
Man, if I'd known that you'd been teaching those terms today, I would not have used those terms.
So welcome to Pods in the Key of Etc., the premier Twin Peaks fan podcast on the internet.
Is that what we are?
I think it might be. So tonight we'll be discussing Twin Peaks The Return, Part 11.
Oh, God.
Starring Kyle MacLachlan, Catherine Coulson, and all of my favorite characters from the hit show Twin Peaks. Nick, what did you make of Part 11?
Is this that show that you watch?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't watch things.
Oh shit. This is that podcast about The Simpsons, isn't it?
Are you cheating on me with another podcast?
I don't know if those are the terms I'd use to define this relationship, but the episodes that we
watched... woman at the fish shop would think so.
Oh, that's a very specific reference to a thing that happened in real life that is not worth explaining.
Not worth explaining.
Tonight we watched Dancing Homer, in which Homer dances.
Mm-hmm.
And Dead Putting Society, the classic Robin Williams film.
Yes.
Well, actually, this was a Simpsons episode, largely about golf, I suppose. But it was about a lot of things. We'll get into it.
We'll get into that one later.
So, Dancing Homer, Season 2, the episode in which Homer dances at a baseball game and then becomes famous for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, the DVD skipped a large part of this episode, but we're pretty sure. The part that it skipped is actually when he starts dancing, and he gets drunk with Mr. Burns, and then Mr. Burns is planning on firing or possibly killing him, I think. And then...
I mean, I'd love to join in, but the DVD skips. I just don't know.
No, because you've never seen the show.
Never.
Before. Actually, one thing I was meaning to say to you, Nick, is I finally figured out what this podcast is actually about.
Oh, what's the podcast about?
This podcast is about what life looks like when you have based it entirely around The Simpsons. When you have lived so deeply in the pockets of Matt Groening that every time you speak, his lint falls out of your mouth.
Wow, that was an extraordinary metaphor. And... yeah, I mean, I suppose you're right. We are two chronically unsuccessful, unhappy men.
I don't know if I'd say chronically unsuccessful. Unhappy, I'll grant you. We're doing okay.
Oh, we're doing fine, I suppose. I mean, we've got our very own podcast. Not everyone has that.
I think they might these days.
Yeah.
I mean, we are white men. I think all of us do have podcasts.
Finally, a voice for us.
So, my first thought on this episode, which opens with Homer and his family, the Simpsons, if you will, going to the local baseball stadium to watch a game of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Burns, something I've been thinking about a lot is, in these early episodes, Mr. Burns is such a prominent character. I feel like he has been a large part of at least one episode in just about every pairing we have had so far.
That's a really good point.
Is Mr. Burns the seventh Simpson? The sixth Simpson, of course, being the town of Springfield, which, if you ask me, is a character all to itself.
in and of itself?
I suppose so.
Okay.
Yep.
Is Mr. Burns the seventh Simpson?
Yes, because Springfield, the town, I mean, to me, Springfield is the sixth character.
Yes.
Nick, have you ever been to New York?
Oh, wait, is this a fucking Woody Allen thing?
Is this, in a lot of, like, Woody Allen's films, like, to me, personally, New York is a character.
I don't know where you want me to take this riff. I tried ruminating on it twice, and you've just repeated the same thing.
I mean, the idea would be for you to cut me off and just go off on something else, I think.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't. I'm too polite to do that. Here's something interesting from the baseball game. Homer talks about 72-ounce tubs of beer. I did the conversion on that. It's 2.1-litre tubs.
All right, cool.
As an Australian, I have to say, not that much beer.
2.1 litres?
Yeah, not that much.
Okay. That the cup you've been drinking from tonight, how many litres is that?
2.1.
Okay. Okay.
Not that much beer.
No. A lot of whiskey, though, so I'm a bit worried. So, Mr. Burns, is he the seventh Simpson? That was the question.
Fuck. I mean, yeah.
He seems so vital in these early stages. And,
He plays a much higher role in these early ones than he does in later ones. But does that mean he's no longer the seventh Simpson? Has he been demoted?
Well,
is he now a Flanders?
I don't know, how long does this show go for? How many more episodes have we got left to watch?
2.1.
Alright, so it should be interesting to see if next episode, which I suppose will be the finale by the sounds of things.
Well, no, there'll be another 0.1 to go.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, that's just the movie again, isn't it?
Oh, wait. I'm talking about the capacity of my... the capacity of my tub.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm always getting episodes until it ends confused with capacity of my tub.
Yeah, you've got that real tub confusion issue.
Tub's not a word I use very often.
I don't think I've heard you use the word tub.
No, and we've talked about yogurt before.
Yeah.
Yogurt is, I think, the only acceptable use of the word tub for me.
Okay, what do you bathe in?
A bath.
Okay. What do you call, like, a really fat cat? You're not here, tub, tub, tub. Hey, tub puss.
No, I'd call it a vet bill waiting to happen.
Okay. You know what I would call it?
Tub puss?
Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have more things I could say about Garfield, but I don't know if this is the right podcast for it.
Can I say that I find baseball really tedious?
You can say that.
It is so stagnant and staged, and it takes so long to get through moments of action. I have the same problem with American football. The NFL, gridiron, old pokey, whatever you want to call it. Old pokey is not a nickname for it.
That's what I call it.
I hate it. It's so staged. It's so fragmented and performative. It's like 4.5 hours for the Super Bowl and you get 13 minutes of action in the middle. I hate it so much. Baseball's the same thing.
This is interesting to me because I really like both of these sports.
Mm.
And, I mean, baseball, my favorite memory of a baseball game is when I went to Japan and I watched the Tokyo, whoever the hell, versus, I think it was the Osaka, what the fuck? I can't remember what their names were, but there was a...
Oh, the team that Mark Maron sponsors.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Maron, if you're listening. Are you listening? I really hope Mark Maron is listening.
You know, the Osaka What the Fucks really play well today.
Now tell me, Nick, who are your guys? who are the guys you grew up with? I'm just really angry, but I'm also very good at my job. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about the Japanese baseball, actually. That's not really an interesting anecdote. What I will say is that I really like the stadium designs in this episode of The Simpsons. Those baseball stadiums... The contrast between the Springfield one and the Capital City one, really great. You get a good sense of the differences in their design and also the differences of their atmosphere.
Sure.
I got weirdly nostalgic watching this episode for like a childhood that I never actually had. Just watching them go to the baseball and like the idea of like, you know, the balmy night, sitting out there, watching the ball game, eating the hot dogs, you know, falling while the father figure drinks the beer and...
falling asleep because it's fucking dull.
That wasn't part of it. No, it looked really pleasant to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You remember pleasantness?
No.
That experience that you used to be capable of?
It is in a past.
Before this bitter world turned you out and spat you to the curb?
Oh, I've been spat to so many curbs by this world. But that's fine.
Yeah, much like Lisa in the next episode we'll be looking at. But
man,
that's
she's dark in that episode.
Getting ahead of ourselves, myself, etc. So, this episode was really silly.
Yeah.
It seemed like a season one sort of plot line.
Very
just,
exaggerated.
Yeah, where Homer dances once and then becomes famous for it. And then the plot is resolved in a very unsatisfying way later on.
I'm surprised that they didn't have a montage of Homer putting up signs around the town.
Yeah. Hey, there's an idea for an episode.
Man, they should have that as a B story.
Yeah, what if Homer puts up a bunch of safety signs?
For some reason.
For some reason. And then he gets made the safety technician at the nuclear plant.
Yeah.
And then he plummets to his death at the end.
All right, I'm into it.
And the rest of the series continues on from that point.
Oh!
Because that'll just be... Oh! Yeah, that'll be like an episode, and then from there, there'll just be more episodes.
I thought we were heading back into your little theory.
Which one?
Remember that that theory you had where, like, in every episode you were working in, like, a death dream?
A what? What are we talking about?
Remember the death dream? You've used it in basically every episode so far where there's been like a point where someone dies and then you say, and what if the rest of the show was just... And then, you know, it's like a death dream.
Neg, that's very silly and you know that I take this very seriously. And frankly, I don't appreciate your tomfoolery or japery.
How many of my 2.1 litre tubs of beer were you drinking in the recording of the other episodes?
How many of the tubs themselves was I drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm missing a few tubs.
And my doctor has told me that I am drinking too much plastic. Not to mention the amount of glass I'm consuming. So this episode, Homer, he dances a lot. Eventually, he gets called to dance in Capital City.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are inexplicably opposed to this idea. Lisa, in fact, says that she had always envisioned dying in Springfield, which
well,
seems...
wouldn't you with a father like Homer? A father with the murderous intent that you've established over the course of several episodes?
I mean, that is true. That was a season one thing. I don't know. I feel like maybe this season's Homer has mellowed out a lot.
Right, right.
And one of my notes here is there's a scene very early on, and I know I'm jumping around a lot, but you know, the people listening to this are very smart. They can follow along, I'm sure. There's a scene early on where Marge, she goes up to the baseball players to get a signature on Bart's ball, and the baseball player writes instructions on how to get to his hotel room, gives it back to Bart. And Homer, who I think would have gotten furious about this in season one, is seems kind of turned on by the fact that this baseball player is into his wife, which I thought was a neat little character touch, and maybe it means that Homer has mellowed out a bit. Maybe he's not the murderous killing machine that we know without a doubt he was in the first season.
Do you think that part of that, though, is that the baseball player in question was an ex-major league player? Do you think that the status of the player has something to do with Homer's reaction? If it was just ordinary, I don't know, Joe Swing-a-Lot or whatever normal baseball players are called.
Yeah, Joe Swing-a-Lot or Jimmy the Bunt. Joey Pitstop. Little Freddy First Base.
Oh, man. Little Freddy First Base. Wasn't that a movie by that Tom Green?
Yeah, that was actually. It was about Little Freddy, and he lived in the city of New York, which to me...
Oh, fuck.
I'm sorry.
Well, we just covered the thread for season two of The Simpsons. Sorry, I'm still stuck on Jimmy the Bunt. I've just got a note here that says Spit Brothers and how...
I also have a note that just says Spit Brothers.
Okay, what were you going to say about Spit Brothers? Should we say what we're going to say at the same time?
Yes.
All right. We'll go 3, 2, 1, and then...
Yep, sure.
3, 2, 1.
We're I was going to riff on whether we should be Spit Brothers or not. Oh my God.
So, we are... I coined us Birthday Brothers because we're both born on... A day.
Yep.
Specifically the same one. Being born on a day is not a brag.
Oh, look. Both of us were born on a day.
On a day. Yeah. Look, you know, I don't want to get too up myself here, but I've got quite a lot going on. I was born on a day. No, we were both born on December 3rd. So I coined us Birthday Brothers about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And my I put down Spit. We are Birthday Brothers. Should we also be Spit Brothers?
Okay. I mean, I think we both agree that we shouldn't, right?
Oh, I thought we could do it on the podcast.
I mean, you have been spitting on me a lot lately, and I've taken it... You know, until I watched this episode, I frankly took it as a sign of, that you're upset at me about something.
Did you take it with some kind of malice?
I mean, you were spitting, like, right into my face, and then again onto the ground, so... Mm. But now I understand... By the way, I actually bought like a birthday present for you the other day. I know your birthday's a while away, but I got a birthday present waiting for you, so you prepare yourself.
You're over 4 months ahead.
Yeah, I'm on top of things. Well, remember that one I bought you like 2 birthdays ago? I bought you like a joke. No, that was Christmas, actually. I bought you like a joke gift and then like a real gift.
Yeah.
And you opened the joke gift and you thought it was the real gift and you were... Like, sincerely pleased by it when I bought you that copy of Grown Ups 2 on DVD.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty that was a pretty interesting day when I was just like, oh, yeah, cool. This is a reference to that podcast we both listened to. Cool. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And you were just like, Nick, what the fuck? That is a joke. Yeah.
And then we watched it and it was bad.
Oh, so terrible.
I've got an idea for a podcast.
Yeah, what
we
is
watch,
it?
We watch Grown Ups 2 every week.
Sure.
For a year.
What?
And we call it... The best idea that I, James, have ever had.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
It's the best idea that I, James, has ever had.
Hope people get that reference, and if they don't, that's fine. We wasted maybe a minute of their lives.
My last note, I'm just going to say my last note for the sake of getting my last note done. First guest.
First guest?
In Dancing Homer.
Yep.
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett. All right, what more do you have to say about Mr. Bennett?
Not much, just that it was the first guest.
Oh, okay. You're on your phone right now? Are you looking up Tony Bennett?
I might be.
But are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry. Hang on. Let's sure.
You're not looking up anagrams of Tony Bennett, are you?
Yeah. Oh, I will now. Anagram.
So here's Here's my question from this episode. The Simpsons, they make a big deal about Capital City. They go to Capital City. And the thing is, this episode, I feel like when I was younger and I watched this episode, I thought Capital City was a real place in America that people got excited about. Now I watch it, Capital City is very clearly a bizarre pastiche of various other American cities. Mm. And the excitement over it is... very confusing in that context because there is nothing to attach to Capital City beyond the idea that the family is excited about it because it is larger than where they came from.
But in the Simpsons universe, is it? I know that you're saying when we peek into the Simpsons universe, we see it as being Vegas and New York and wherever else all smooshed up. Into the one thing, but is it that in the Simpsons universe?
Well, that's what I was kind of wondering early on. Did they intend for every city in the Simpsons universe to be fictional? Because we had Springfield, we had Shelbyville. I'm seeing you look at something on your phone and grin like a fucking maniac right now, so I don't know what you're about to unleash on me, so I'll get through this point. You had Capital City, Shelbyville, Springfield. These are all places that do not actually exist in the real world, but then later on, they're going to Washington, they're going to New York,
right.
They're going to fucking everywhere. They're not allowed into Delaware, or they're going to Delaware to see a screen door factory or something. I don't know. It seems like they must have made the decision at some point to stop just making up fake towns and cities.
Can I give you an alternative viewpoint?
I guess you're about to, so let's go for it.
That at some point there was a parallel universe, perhaps a universe shaped like an omelet.
Okay.
That flipped. And like when you flip an omelet, not only do the two parts of the omelet come together, but parts of the still moist egg intermingle. I think the Simpsons were originally existing in a universe where there were analogies for towns and the mashup town that you spoke of before.
Yep. Egg mashup, okay.
But then the omelet flipped, and with it, they came into our universe with your Washingtons, with your Philadelphias, with your Bart Down Under and your Don't Tread on Me bum.
What on earth were you Googling?
Oh, it's
spring back to this theory.
Anagrams of Tony Bennett.
Oh, okay.
My favorite one is the first one, which this isn't a very good anagram because all the elements are in the name, but it still makes me laugh a lot. First anagram. Bent Net Tony, which is like the worst nickname for a fisherman ever.
Bent Net Tony, which
Bent Net Tony
is actually, funnily enough, the name of our previous Prime Minister, Bent Net Tony.
Yes, Tone.
Man, you did so much build up to that, while at the same point completely undercutting it by explaining during the build up that you were building up to something terrible.
Bent Net Tony.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I whiffed it.
So,
Oh, no, wait, sorry, my omelette egg flip theory,
yep.
That wasn't building up to Bent Net Tony. Omelette egg flip was building up to why there are different...
Oh, yeah, we've established that this is definitely the reality of this TV show in earlier episodes. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to the earlier episodes. It is well established that The Simpsons is taking place in some sort of a omelette universe.
Mm.
That's about the extent of it, isn't it? I don't need to explain it any further than
I think if anyone doesn't get it from that, then... Yeah. Whew, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Whoa,
no. Oh, doctor. So, they go to Capital City. Homer's terrible dancing is a failure because, of course it is. It wasn't very good to begin with.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense that anybody really gave a shit about it at any point.
It's, yeah.
They drive back to the home that they... have packed up completely. By the way, in this episode, they show them packing all their possessions into their car, which is weird. And then they drive to Capital City and they're staying in a motel. Where did all their stuff go? Why were they packing it up? They still have their house.
I assume that when they were in the motel, their stuff, which was on the roof racks of the car, all got stolen.
I mean, this Capital City gig is, what, like once a week? They don't need to move to Capital City.
Yeah, how frequent are baseball games?
I mean, Homer only asked for a leave of absence from work. He doesn't quit. This doesn't quite add up to me.
This doesn't add up.
No.
Do you think there's something else going on? Some kind of witness protection bullshit?
I think what's really happening is that Homer, unreliable narrator, just like Homer in the Odyssey, which I have kind of said without thinking about it too much, but I think there are some elements of that maybe in the Odyssey.
Is this another Woody Allen film?
See, the thing about Odysseus is that, to me, Ithaca really is like a character itself.
Isn't
the changing political climate of ancient Greece.
Now, is Ithaca, do you mean the...
Yeah, the monster from My Real Monsters.
Oh, no, I was going to say, isn't there a town in Chicago called Ithaca? And do you mean the real Ithaca or the Simpsons egg flip omelette Ithaca?
You're on a very different level from the one I went for there.
Yeah. Real monsters. Was that the one where the guy was holding his eyes?
Yes.
Does that not seem like a real bad design to you?
I mean, it definitely seems like something you would sketch as a child without thinking about the logistics of too much, that they then turned into a full TV series, which was pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. Our Real Monsters was popular. Explain that, atheists.
I liked I remember when I was a child, because I used to be a child, they brought out this line of Real Monsters toys, and they all had different things based on like what the powers of the monsters were.
Sure.
So, Ickes...
What the powers? Mark Maron's Supernatural Podcast.
So what are your powers?
What are your powers? You know, when I first saw your powers, I didn't like them.
Now, Superman, get back here. Come on.
Come on. Where are you going?
I was bad to my ex-wife. That's slipping further and further from Mark Maron. Mark Maron, if you're listening, I really enjoy your podcast. What the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the toys. They would do things based on what the monster could do on the show.
Sure.
And I liked the Crumb, who was the guy who would hold his eyes.
Sure.
His main power, it seemed, was that he smelt bad. So that one just smelt bad. That was like the thing it did.
That's not... You can't sell a toy to children that smells bad.
And yet they did.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know how they did it. Maybe it was full of onions. Who can say? That's what I would do. I would just stuff the toy with onions. Hey, Nick?
I'm really confused.
Nick, do you want to buy this toy that I've made? It's called a Little Onion Annie.
Little Onion Annie.
Little Onion Annie.
Because you can't get a man with an onion. With an onion. With an onion.
Yep.
That's not from... Yeah, that's from Annie Get Your Gun.
Oh, okay. Cool. Did Annie get her gun in the end?
Oh, Annie got hers.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm glad. So, they fuck up. Homer drives the family back home.
Oh, we're still on this episode.
He says... My favorite line of the episode, which is something along the lines of, my wife and kids supported me all the way. Later, I realized how little that helped, which I love because it's very much our core philosophy in life, I think, because, you know, we don't have wives. I'm not going to even pretend we do. But anyway, then the episode ends. It's fine. It's good. It's all right. It's probably the weakest one of season two so far.
Dead Putting Society.
Dead Putting Society.
First thing I notice here is, do you remember when we were doing the season one episodes? I commented.
No.
Oh, I commented on the sign semi-painless dentistry in the opening scene.
I do remember,
and how
yes.
much I liked that. Yeah, that's no longer there anymore. What do you think happened to the semi-painless dentist?
Well, as we have established in earlier episodes, a lot of the what is happening in The Simpsons is about the economic downturn.
The economic downturn.
The economic downturn. Yes.
Speaking of the economic downturn,
aye.
Homer's got one of those manual lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Those pushy pushy wheelie rolly ones.
That's what they call it. Yeah, pushy pushy wheelie rolly ones.
I had one of those.
Yeah.
In a previous house, because I had not very much lawn, and I was like, this lawn is so insignificant that I bet I can just use one of those pushy pushy ones. You know what? They're bloody awful.
Yeah, well, that was the 90s. I don't know. How much did a real lawnmower cost back then?
Well, I didn't buy many real lawnmowers in the 90s. I'm not sure. I can't give you a specific
You say
answer.
Not many. How many is not many? Like six?
Yeah, six.
Yeah. A year?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just six in the course of my childhood.
So some interesting stuff in this episode.
Those mowers are really good at hurting your chest. Because what you do is you get to a point where like you're pushing hard and it's like you start going and you go, I'm on a run here.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not literally a run. That would be ridiculous. I'm on a good canter, as a horse person would say. A horse person, as a centaur.
A centaur while they're mowing, I'd say.
Yeah, as a mowing centaur.
I'm on a good canter.
I'm on a good... Yes. And then you would hit like a big, grass root, or you might hit a rock or something like that. And the whole thing just stops, but you're still walking and the handlebars just hit you in the chest.
I mean, the only mow that I'm interested in is mow Sizzlac.
Do you know, once when I was using a petrol-powered mower, like an actual proper mower.
Nick, how many mowing anecdotes do you have?
More than I thought. Scariest moment I've ever had while mowing. The grass was really, really high. You saw the grass in my old house. It was like hip high.
Sure.
And I'm quite tall. So mowing along, and the grass was so high that I had to do the hungry, hungry hippos method. of like chomping down on the grass because it was too long for me to just run the mower over it. So I had to hungry, hungry hippos my way around the garden, singing the theme song the whole time.
The theme song to what?
The Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Do you not remember that ad?
No.
Playing Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Anyway, so I'm doing that, and then the blades landed on a basketball. There was an enormous bang. The motor stopped, or sorry, the blade stopped. That's an important distinction. The blade stopped, and I was like, what on earth was that? So I started like lifting the mower slowly, and I was like, oh, it's a basketball. Oh, no. Oh, I've punctured me bloody basketball I have. So then I went to stick my hand in to get it.
Ugh.
And then I went, hang on a minute, maybe I'll just back up a bit and see if I can kind of pop the basketball off the blade using the friction of the ground. And I did, and as soon as the ball became free, the blade started up again. I nearly did myself a Herman.
Ooh, a Herman?
Yeah, because I was also driving on a bus, and I had my arm sticking out the window.
That's how you would mow your lawn usually, which is drive the bus past.
I do a drive-by.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good story, but I don't see what it has to do with Twin Peaks.
Sorry, I thought we were talking about the quality of the grass in the putting course.
Oh, that's right. This is the Simpsons podcast.
That was the segue I was building up for is to the quality of the grass on the putting course.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Okay, no doubt.
I spent 20 minutes on that segue. Interesting bit of foreshadowing. When Homer goes to Flanders' house for the first time.
Why are you showing me your notes?
To prove that I have a note on foreshadowing.
Okay.
When Homer goes to Flanders' house and gets shitty and leaves, he says, I wouldn't stay on a bet.
Whoa.
Foreshadowing the idea of bets. It's almost like the writers wanted us to know that this episode was going to involve some kind of bet.
That is some next level analysis, Nick.
Thanks, man.
I would like to pat you on the back, but my parole officer says I can't. So.
Does he have to be here for all of the recordings, by the way?
Should we bring him over? Just get him involved in the...
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, guys, it's me. Oh, this is turning into comedy bang bang.
One thing that I find quite interesting in these early episodes of The Simpsons, I think I've brought this up before, Flanders as a character isn't so much meant to be the sort of over-the-top Christian. He's meant to be the irritatingly perfect neighbor. But in these early seasons of The Simpsons, it seems like traditional Christianity is held up as a real virtue. And this is meant to be part of what makes him perfect. Although this is, I think, the first time we start to see the cracks in this. When he's ringing up Lovejoy, there's a scene here where he is worried he has offended Homer over an issue that was very clearly Homer's fault. He rings up Reverend Lovejoy in the middle of the night and asks him a bunch of inane questions. Lovejoy is clearly irritated by him. So this is a nice little milestone in the show. That's the first little cracks starting to form in the increasingly complex character of Neddard Flanders.
Is that his full first name?
Neddard? Well, as I recall...
Ned Wood?
Well, he is... if I'm remembering right, Ned is declared the Hand of the King, and he travels to Winterfell, where he... No, wait, that's Game of Thrones. This guy, different Ned, he's a Christian. He's irritating. He has a lot of beer. He has a lot of sandwiches. And in this episode, he is vaguely transphobic.
I thought Ned didn't drink.
I guess he did in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's almost as if the characters aren't 100% consistent over all 850 episodes of The Simpsons.
It doesn't seem plausible.
Yeah, you would think with the amount of Emmys they have won, it would be completely consistent.
What does Emmy stand for?
It's, my movies. Yeah. Suck it, that's the S.
Sure.
So, at the start of this episode, we didn't, did we even mention that Homer is mowing the lawn? That's why you talked about mowers for an hour?
Oh.
Anyway, Homer's mowing the lawn.
I don't think we got there.
Flanders is mowing the lawn. Homer gets mad. Flanders invites him in for a beer. They end up getting angry at each other. And then eventually it turns into an episode about Bart and... Is it Rod or Todd? It's Todd.
Todd.
He's competing with him in the golfing tournament.
Mm.
In this episode, Dead Putting Society. So while I was watching this episode, I was thinking, does this episode share any similarities at all with the classic Robin Williams film Dead Poets Society, which, by what I can only assume is a coincidence, has a very similar name. So I've got a little table in my notes I'd like to compare.
You've got a table?
I mean...
Well, sorry, I didn't realize we were doing bloody tables tonight.
I mean, perhaps table is charitable. I've got maybe three notes here.
Oh, fair enough.
So here's some interesting similarities and contrasts I noticed between them. You know, there's a few things that are similar, a few things that are different. One of the big differences, I think, is that Dead Putting Society is really good. Well, Dead Poets Society is fucking awful. That's one of the main differences I noticed. Dead Poets Society stars Robin Williams, and Chris Williams is the name of a golfer. Alright, so are you following me so far?
What? Okay.
Yeah, let's see, what does that note say? Makes me... Okay, in Dead Poets Society... It ends with a relatively stupid touching scene of all the students saying, "Oh, captain, my captain," which is, you know, the iconic line, something that people can take forward and hold on to.
Something that's been endlessly parodied by Family Guy
and the one good sketch that Saturday Night Live has done in the last, like, 40 years. Right. And then Dead Putting Society has the line about the great sadness in Ned's bosom, which is also very good.
That is good.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, these have nothing in common, and it's very odd that this episode is named Dead Putting Society.
Is that because...
I mean, there was that scene where all the kids read the poetry in the cave and danced around like fucking idiots this Simpson episode, but, you know...
Was it called that purely because Dead Poets Society was in the zeitgeist... And one of the writers thought this was a pun? It's not, but they thought that it was.
You want to know the actual reason why it's called Dead Putting Society? Because when they were making these early seasons, there was no way of knowing what the name of the episodes were. There wasn't the internet to look this shit up. So they just gave the episodes stupid names just so they could remember them in-house.
Not thinking anyone
would ever find out what any of their episodes were called. That's the actual reason.
Can I give you... I mean, I know that you have the actual reason based on, you know, what the writers have said.
Yep.
But can I give you my theory?
I would rather that you did, yes.
Because previously, in earlier episodes of The Simpsons, in earlier interstitials of their lives,
yep,
Bart and Todd have been killed.
What?
And that this tournament...
is to decide which one gets to get into heaven?
No, it's not the fucking St. Peter's Golden
Gates
tournament.
And by declaring it a draw, they both just stay in limbo forever?
Don't hijack my theory into getting into heaven. I was just going to say that they're both dead, and this is playing out in their little dead dreams, and that's why it's called Dead Putting Society. It was the way of the writers letting us know that they've killed off these characters.
Okay, I think I've got a flaw in your logic here, though.
I've got a floor in my house. Want to fight about it?
There's like another episode after this where the characters are still alive.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, sorry, otherwise pretty well thought out, pretty well plotted, yeah.
No, I'm glad you pointed that out. If only someone else had thought of that earlier.
So, Bart learns how to play putt-putt. Mini golf. Because Lisa borrows a bunch of books from the library, largely about her meditation and philosophy, and somehow this teaches Bart how to be a good golfer.
Did you notice the shelf stacker in the library?
The shelf stacker in the library.
So, I don't want to diminish the work of librarians. They're very important persons.
Yep.
Shelf stackers in libraries, not so much.
Yep, sure. I mean, if you were playing like some sort of library RPG, they might be the sort of lower class ghouls.
lower class ghouls.
Yeah.
The
Lisa... I just before we get into this, I feel like we should clarify. We don't actually know that much about how libraries operate, and we could be completely wrong.
Oh yeah.
Just for safety.
Just for the sake of safety. That's
anyway,
fine.
Carry on. With...
That's fine. But for the just if you're a librarian or a library support staff member or whatever it might be, please just run with me on this one. So, Lisa walks past the guy who's clearly putting the books back on the shelves and says, "Hey, Ralph."
Yep.
Now, can you think of any other characters in Simpsons called Ralph?
Well, I've been thinking long and hard about this, and frankly, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait.
It's the omelet flip, baby.
Holy so, shit.
There is young Ralph at school with Lisa, right?
Yep.
And he's, not the smartest. Not the smartest kid.
That's being generous.
And then later... Well, no, at the same time, because of the egg flip omelet and the intermingled moistness of the whites and all that stuff.
And the Billy Pilgrim time travel, yeah.
Billy Pilgrim.
Don't worry about that, carry on.
Scott Pilgrim?
Somebody will get it, it's fine, just keep going.
Okay, sure. Cool. Hello, someone. And there is also a slightly dim-witted character called Ralph who exists as an adult, and he's found himself stacking shelves in the library. Add this to the character list.
Which, I mean, from the perspective of who Ralph is, things have turned out pretty well for him. He seems like a fairly well-adjusted adult. He has at least one 8-year-old friend, and he has a job. That's pretty good.
I've never heard the phrase, at least one 8-year-old friend, used as a marker of success before.
I mean, frankly, you don't want many more than one.
And now, he drives the school bus.
In this episode, Homer demands that Bart gives his golf club a name of a girl, and he tells him to call the putter Charlene. And this is a moment that impacted me, because you might remember back in the days of my youth, I used to have a Microsoft Paint comic that I would make and post to LiveJournal. This is really dating me.
I do remember this.
And there was an ongoing joke that I did not know how to draw women, and there was one very crudely drawn woman who would pop up in the comic, whose name was Charlene.
Yes.
And that was because I asked a friend, what name should I give them?
Yes.
And he said Charlene in reference to this putter.
Excellent.
And he didn't need to explain the reference, I just immediately knew why he had said it.
Exactly. And that went on to become the comic that I'm sure all the listeners will know because they've already bought the compendium of Sweet Sweet Biscuits.
Yep, went on to make a series of comics about Charlene that I now would not be comfortable sharing.
Yeah,
They were not woke in the way that that 29-year-old me would be comfortable with.
Yeah, some of the ones I recall were pretty spicy.
They were reductive. Reductive, but you know that was a while ago.
Do you want me to put that creepy pitch shifter effect back on?
That's fine.
Well, it's interesting to see how we can all learn.
But you've got to hold yourself accountable for past bullshit. So the name Charlene reminds me of that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You know how I'm on insult watch?
Yeah, sure.
Well, remember. In a previous episode, I was excited when Homer refers to Bart as a lunkhead.
Yep.
And I flagged I decided to call our listeners lunkheads this afternoon and started the episode with, hey, lunkheads.
Yep, sure.
Flanders uses the insult jackaninny.
That is, yes.
Jackaninny.
Jackaninny.
I'm going to see if it has a meaning. My problem with insults now is whenever I come across a new insult, my initial reaction is...
Don't much care for that one.
Is that racist? Wow. Okay. According to this... Oh, wow. According to this Irish website, the Dictionary of Irish Slang, jackaninny is a fool. And then the usage example is... Dat lads a right jackaninny. Dat lads a right jackaninny.
Hit dat lad. Oh shit, what up, jackaninny?
Oh, that one's for you, fella.
Oh, internet. What else happened?
Hold yourself accountable for past bullshit, internet.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, girl.
If a tree falls in the woods.
Yeah.
And there's nobody there to hear it.
Yes.
Does it make a sound?
Of course it does.
Oh, okay, okay. Good, yeah. I'm just going to make a little note here.
Okay, so sound is vibrations in...
It...
Oh, you're really...
Makes... A...
You're really going hell for leather sound. on that okay. Notebook there.
Okay.
Well, I think I need to teach you shorthand. Because that was... I can only imagine, if it took you that long to scratch it out on the pad, I can only imagine that you have a very ornate handwriting style.
I mean, my short game is not great, which is... This episode really brought that home to me as well. Yeah.
That was good.
I do what I can. I noticed that at the golf tournament at the end, Edna Krabappel is there watching, which I don't think is intended to be anything, but... In my head canon, I was watching like, oh, this is really nice. His teacher showed up to support him during this golfing tournament. What a lovely little touch.
It's the interesting things, because as we've mentioned before, the process of watching these episodes is so in-depth.
I don't know if that even comes across on this podcast where we just blather on about bullshit for an hour. But yes, I know.
Do you want to hear more anecdotes about mowing? The last time... That Dad brought the mower around to my old house to help me mow the lawn because I didn't have the mower because I bought the shitty pushy one.
Yeah.
So the mower had a very dodgy starter on it, right? Because this thing was like 30.
Wait a minute. You're actually telling me another mower story. Yeah. I was just looking up my notes and letting you talk for a moment. And I went, wait a second. Why do you have so many stories about mowers?
I don't know.
All right.
So, very dodgy starter mower, and I'm left-handed, which I know doesn't sound like it's mowing anecdote related, but it is, trust me. So, the starter mower was designed for it was one of those, you know, the pull cord, one of those.
Yep.
And so, it was designed for a right-handed person, but I'm left-handed, which means my stronger arm is my left arm, and it was never a thing for me. I tried for 3 minutes of like solid, hard, you know, really giving this starter a crack, trying to get it to work.
Yep, solid, hard, really giving it a crack. Got it. Yeah. Okay,
cool. And then after about 3 minutes, Dad just went, oh shit, there's no petrol in it, and waddled off to get the petrol.
Is that the story?
That's the story.
All right. I mean, that was nice. I have a lot of notes left about this episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I'm just looking. There's about three or four things I need to get through here. So, okay. So in this one, there's a few interesting things. I was talking about religion earlier. There was a scene where they showed the Flanders family praying, and Homer walks up and says that there's no point in praying because his family already did the same thing, and they can't both win. Which I thought was a fucking outstanding joke.
Oh, it is. It's a very good point.
Yes. Just this, I don't know how deep I want to dig into that. I just want to note that I really liked that. And if it isn't clear, I really like the show The Simpsons, which we have been watching for this podcast.
Yes.
When, I mean, it's kind of distracting from the Twin Peaks discussion we're meant to be having, but I am enjoying The Simpsons.
Is that a new jumper you're wearing, by the way?
Oh, this old thing?
Oh.
What else have I got here? You brought up something very interesting. We both thought it at the same time. But there's a scene in this episode, and because we have been watching this in greater depth than we used to back when we were dumb children.
Oh, that's right. I was leading to this, and then I got distracted by another one of my sparkling mowing anecdotes.
Yeah, you look up anagrams of the word mowing. Womming? I don't know. So there's a scene where Bart has been learning, you know, how to be a Zen golfer, and they're down at the putting green. It's him, Lisa, and Homer, and Homer's giving him a bunch of bad advice and agitating him, and Bart, who has just learned how to apply geometry and trigonometry and the Zen state of mind to golfing.
And physics.
Hits the ball in such a way that it bounces off a pyramid. Is it a pyramid?
No, it's the monkey's head.
Okay, it bounces off the monkey's head, the big monkey thing at the golfing thing, to use the technical terms.
Yes.
And goes flying right at Homer's head. Homer screams and ducks and the ball misses him.
Now.
Yes.
I had always interpreted that as Bart getting angry, lashing out with an unwieldy shot, and yep. it just happens to come back past Homer in yes. a kind of violence is funny comedy kind of way. But we both thought that given that he's just gone through all this stuff and has learned these things about where to hit and how to hit, do you think he's put in enough time that he goes, well, hang on a minute, if Homer's standing there and I'm here and the big monkey's over there, I've got to hit it clunk there for the whoop into Homer's head. Was it an intentional attempt to hit Homer in the head with a flying golf ball?
I do believe Bart was trying to kill his father.
Interesting.
Mm.
First time of Bart trying to kill his father, do you reckon?
Ooh, I mean, it's his most overt, explicit attempt, I think,
yeah.
to usurp the patriarchal figure of the Simpson family and huh. to Oedipus his way into the family. I don't want to talk about Oedipus, but he is definitely, I think, trying to take down the figure that looms over him throughout the entire episode. You're reaching for a physical prop, Nick. I don't know if that's going to play.
I've been looming a blanket.
You just picked up a loom for... Well, because the word looming was mentioned?
Yep.
Oh, okay, all right.
I'm really going to enjoy the episode where Marge says, look at me, I'm weaving on a loom. Because that's what I do.
But, okay. I imagine the loom won't be in the room at the time and you'll have to run upstairs or something.
Hey, this loom.
I'll be back in a jiffy.
This loom's always in the room.
So my last note here, and this is, I feel like this is going to become like an ongoing thing, just jokes that I guess would fly in the 90s that now feel fucking antiquated and weird.
Oh, the dresses.
Yeah, not just the dresses, but when they decide they're going to make a bet about who wins the golf. First of all, Flanders suggests that they bet one of his wife's homemade bird feeders, I believe it is. Or is it wind chime? It's either bird feeder or wind chime.
Wind chime.
Okay, against a batch of Marge's delicious blueberry muffins.
Yeah, why are Marge and Maud getting dragged into this?
Yeah, why is the first instinct to make the bet about something their wives will have to toil over without consulting their wives?
They're not parties to this bet.
You can't do that to other people.
It's ridiculous.
You can't just declare that your wife is going to do something. So then they change the bet. So they have to mow the lawn. By the way, Nick, do you have any good stories about mowing?
I'll have to think.
Okay. So they have to mow the other person's lawn wearing their wife's Sunday dress. Again, taking the things their wives own yeah. as their own property and deciding mm-hmm. they can do with them as they want, even mm-hmm. though Homer will tremendously stretch out Marge's favorite dress.
That's
and she
a good point.
Expresses a great deal of ire about this, but is just unable to do anything.
Mm. Mm.
So the episode ends with the two kids having a draw, and Flanders and Homer have to mow each other's lawns in their wife's dresses, and a fucking crowd of people assembles to cheer and roar and dance like it's fucking Carnivale while they watch these two men wearing dresses mow the lawn like it's this grand fucking spectacle to see men wearing dresses.
Mm.
And I guess back then this seemed like the most natural thing in the world to laugh and jape. I'm watching this now. This is a fucking weird thing.
Yeah, and then it's interesting to see that the line that would have possibly been regarded as the progressive line in that scene where Lisa says, why do I get the feeling one day I'm going to be just subscribing this to a psychiatrist?
Yep.
That seems like a 1992, whatever it is, attempt to be progressive.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, oh, no, that's... No, this is... this is... There's no issue with this. There are heaps of men that wear dresses.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once you realize at a certain point in your life, oh, anyone can just wear whatever they want,
anyone
and it's actually fine.
It's
just, it doesn't hurt or damage anyone and should not be a subject of humiliation. But
yeah.
Yeah, this is 90. Is this 91?
I don't know.
90? Who cares?
Are you listening to that, every football club that has a Mad Monday at the end of final season?
We did forget to bring up the fact that Lisa is going through a really fucking dark time in this episode for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a series of jokes in there where Lisa... There's something in there about, like, her dad not paid, not giving a shit about anything she does. Yep. And I actually didn't take adequate enough notes to make this point, but I think we need to keep an eye on Lisa. I think this is going to go somewhere. There's going to be some sort of Lisa... Maybe she'll become, like, an angel of death later in the season. Does that happen?
Isn't there a... Isn't there a Kent Brockman show called Eye on Lisa? But now that's what I call it.
Actually, Nick, that show is called Eye on Springfield, and it's actually about one of my favorite members of The Simpsons. So I can see you getting angry there, just like tensing up.
When I realized where you were going, I was like, Jekyll, we've been through this. I don't know where you want me to take this. But who is one of your favorite characters of The Simpsons?
One of my favorite characters?
Yeah. If you were going to rank them.
Okay, if I was to rank them,
hmm.
I think my favorite character in The Simpsons would actually be us, the viewers. Because really, we're along for the journey. We're a part of this as much as anything. Anyone.
If a Simpsons episode plays in the woods and no one's there to hear it, did it happen?
It makes it sound like this.
How long do you reckon we could do that for? Before people start writing complaints on iTunes.
I don't know if it's an issue of how long could we do it, how long should we do it, maybe. All right, so I think I think that's probably
it for this episode. I think that's it for us.
I'm feeling we've actually been releasing these episodes now after stockpiling a few.
Mm.
So I feel like I should do the podcast thing and say it would be very nice if you are listening, if you could subscribe to us and leave a review on iTunes. The unspoken part of that is always please leave a positive review. Maybe you hate us. I guess if you hate us, you probably shouldn't have listened to 11 episodes, but that's fine, that's whatever. Yes, please, if you enjoyed it, leave a review. If you hated it, like, leave a positive review anyway, it's fine. We're on all the social media,
mm-hmm.
Well, most of it. Haven't made an Instagram account, we're on everything else, I think.
Mm.
It's generally either Key Springfield on Twitter, mm-hmm. or Pods in the Key of Springfield on everything else. Mm-hmm. I have been James, the 8th Simpson.
And I have been Nick, the 14th Simpson.
The 14th?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get my registration papers in as quickly as you.
Oh, okay. You have to really be diligent on those things, especially around tax time.
Mm. See you later, lunkheads.
Yes, Woozer Wuzzle, is that my thing?
Yeah, that's how you sign out most things.
Yeah, okay. Bye.
Here's a pedantic point.
Yes.
Can you use glass to make a tub? Or does a tub have to be... See, I think if a tub is food-based, it's plastic, and if it's bathing, it's...
I guess if it's glass, it becomes a jug.
No.
What separates a jug from a tub? Is it the spout?
It is. It's the spout.
Okay.
Spout and also the curvaceousness.
The curvaceousness.
Jugs are curvaceous. Tubs are not.
All right. That's not a distinction I expected us to establish on this episode. But right. I'm glad it's out there now.
Come at me, internet. He says, gesturing towards his microphone.
Come at me, epistemologists.
And then we'll have some 2.1 liter tubs of beer, and we'll all be pissed entomologists, or whatever it was you said.